Thank you. Yeah. living through the niggas that maybe some of you don't know. It's very simple, very easy. Very beautiful, so please just join in right in the beginning.
Creation. Coach Mabai, thanks for joining us tonight and celebrating the Lula with Anaka Kabushin Bhattacharya. We ask that you please turn off your cell phone and refrain from speaking during Bhagavad saying prayer and also for the remainder of the music. I would like to thank our sponsors that make tonight's event possible. Are you wise? Noah Pastor, Illumination, Daniela Kena, Bhattacharya Father. Yeshua, Salimia, Luis Nishman, Michal, Yeshua, Ken, and Kimberly Sussman, Chaim, and Rebecca Strick, Luis Nishman, Frida, Basmati Joseph, Yitzi, and Nathan Horowitz, Anonymous, Yeshua, Salima, Adam, Adam, and Spangle, and Orly, Antelic, and Mine, Luis Nishman, Eliel Chaim, General Chaim, Lisbeth, and Oren, and Moshe.
It's very hard for me to speak. I hope that you're able to hear me. I'm screaming inside, but there's a call to Mamadaka that's able to come out. I want to begin by thanking. I thank the Chaverim from Shul, all the arrangements. Dr. Farm Ludman and Charlie Harari and Han Holler and the whole chevra that was busy taking care of the place, getting things set up, Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai Feder and in the office over here, Sarina Weiss, the wonderful people here in the school, all the way to the top. There's a Yid, I never met him, but I heard he's unbelievable. He's always thinking of things to do to help the community. I think his name is Gary Shaw, if I'm not mistaken. To thank Yidide Navshi, Nochi, and Eitan, and Avi. I know every single year, all of us are filled with the tefillah that we should be able to, Mitzvah Hashem, be this coming Lag BaOmer long before, but by Lag BaOmer for sure, we should be able to be in Meiron. But this year, we really mean it. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeichet to see with our eyes. I also want to thank the sponsors. I don't see everybody who's here. Well, the chaver from the yeshiva, from the community. The Noshim Tadkonius, Chaver AI. So let me begin with the story of Galus. The story that I'm going to tell you now is not as long as Galus, but it's about how long Galus is. It says in the Sforim that once Reb Henochel Alexander Schluss Yigalenu was in the Beis HaMedrash. He was learning in the Beis HaMedrash in Kotsk. In Kotsk there was Sos Tzaddik. They were sitting in the back rows. And Reb Henochel Alexander once went into the Beis HaMedrash there in Kotsk. And there was a chassid, a younger man, a young married man, that he was walking around, as Jews sometimes do. He was walking around with a talus on his shoulder. It was a long baruch inashi, you understand. He was walking around with a talus, and he wasn't able yet to put on the talus. And he was lost in his thoughts. And Reb Henichel and him were the only two people in the Beis HaMedrash at that moment. And Reb Henichel went over to him and he said, young man, Hagid Ali, just tell me, what is it that's bothering you? I see that something's bothering you. You can't continue with the talis. What is it that's bothering you? So you understand this before of Henichel was a famous rabbi, so the young man, and anyway in Kotsk, it's known there was a lot of chutzpah. So the young man said to Reb Henichel, and if I tell you what's on my mind, if I tell you what's breaking my heart, will you be able to help me? So Reb Henichel said, you know what, let me tell you what's on your mind. Let me tell you what's bothering you, what's breaking you. You get up in the morning, and the whole day you kill yourself chopping wood. That's your malach. The whole day long, you chaytiv eitz. By the time you come home, at night, you're so exhausted. You don't even have the strength to undress. You don't even have the strength to take your boots off. You just drop onto the bed. And kimat, you don't believe that you'll be able to gather together the strength to get back up and to go daven Maariv. You can't even imagine how you're going to be able to say Kriya Shema. And while the Rebbe is saying all of this, he's sitting there holding his talis and he's shaking and crying. And then the Rebbe of Henichel says, and I'll tell you what you're thinking about. And you're lying there in bed after a day of cutting down trees. In that state of exhaustion and misery, I'll tell you what you're thinking. You're thinking of Rebbeinu Shlalom. What is it that you profit? What do you benefit? What parnosa do you make from this asik of my life? Me, I don't make anything out of this. A parnosa to make enough of a living to be able to support my family, I don't have a parnosa from this. And not only that, I don't even have the time, and I don't have the taichas to sit, to daven, to learn as I would like to. In the kol hapachas, this is what you're saying. I know what you're thinking when you're lying there at night, Reb Henichel says. That in the kol hapachas, Rabbeinu Shlomo, if at least, you would give me a parnasa berevach, that I would make a nice living, then not only would I benefit, not only would I make a living, but you too, Rabbeinu Shlomo, would be able to make a living from that. You too, Rabbeinu Shlomo, would be able to make a parnosa from that. Because then I promise you, Rabbeinu Shlomo, if I had that, I'd be able to daven, I'd be able to learn like a Jew. So, Rabbeinu Shlomo, why don't you give me a parnasa berevach? Why don't you give me the ability to live like a mensch? Reb Henichel says to the young man, that's what you're thinking at night when you're lying there in your boots. And the young man says to Reb Henichel, no, apparently you know what my kash is. You know what my problem is. You know what I'm hurting from. Maybe you could tell me a teretz. Maybe you could answer. Maybe you could solve my problem. So at this point of the story, when I was reading this Maisa, so of course I was hoping and expecting the usual miraculous end. I was hoping that the Rebbe would give him a bracha, tell him to say Kiddush Levana standing on his head, or something interesting, and then all of a sudden some parrots would pass by and throw a bag of coins at him. Which, by the way, I believe in all those stories. And I was hoping that this would have a happy ending for this guy. But it wasn't a happy end. So remember, the younger man says to Hanechel, so if you understand what's hurting me, and you know what I'm thinking about, you're able to see that, then tell me, what's the teretz to my life? I'm not making anything out of my life. I'm not making a parnasah from this. The Baruch Shalom is not gaining anything from my life. What's the teretz? What's the teretz? So instead of the bag of coins, instead of the skula, or even instead of a broch, remember we're in Kotsk, right? So Reb Hanechel says to him, the Eibishter hat dir gegeben a pekel. I don't think I have to translate that. The Eibishter hat dir gegeben a pekel. Hashem Yisroch gave you a pekel. Hashem Yisroch gave you a heavy package, a heavy life, a difficult life. Chug does. Carry it. Chug. Carry it. So of course I was upset when I read this. I felt bad for this guy. But you know, the truth is that you don't have to be Reb Hanechel from Alexander. You don't have to be Reb Hanechel from Alexander to know what that Jew was thinking about and what kind of a life he was living. And the truth is that even though we're not, assuming most of us are not lumberjacks, and we don't spend our days chopping trees, wood, someplace in a forest, but the truth is that the question that you and I have when we fall exhausted at the end of the day, of a typical day of our lives, is really the same kash. And we're feeling, maybe Shimon Bar Yochai, Utsina Kadisha, or Shiva Sayama. Rabbi Shimon, he was zeichet to sit in the cave for 13 years. Mistame, in that cave, there was no Wi-Fi reception. Probably in that cave, there's nothing but your holy son and the dirt that you were buried in. And Rabbi Shimon, in that mysterious cave that we spoke about last year, that Ibur, in that period of gestation, that amazing, amazing, mysterious time in the cave, Rabbi Shimon, the world didn't touch you at all. The world didn't bother you at all. Panosa was bereva. The Baruch Shalom made miracles. Your food was brought to you. Mama served to you. It wasn't elaborate. The picture wouldn't have made it into the Jewish paper of what you ate. But you had what you needed. So Rabbi Shimon, you were able to daven and to learn. And sometimes a person thinks that maybe if I had such a pure life, not that any of us want to live that way, but maybe that maybe if we had a chance to have such a pure life, that maybe you or I could put together some kind of a Zohar HaKadosh. Not the Zohar, not the Zohar HaKadosh. We understand. But at least, we would be Mazhirim. We would be shining Kazaya HaRakia. We would be shining Jews. We'd be beautiful Jews. We'd be Shein Yidden. But Rabbi Shimon, Ata Ubayracha, you and the one who created your amazing neshama knows that we're living at a time where what we're buried in is much, much, much filthier than the dirt in the cave, someplace in Pekin, wherever that was. Much filthier, much thicker, much deeper than anything that you were buried in. And you and I, like that young man in Kursk, can't help it. If you still have a warm Jewish heart, you can't help but think sometimes, Rabbi Shalom, wouldn't it be better for you? Wouldn't it be a better panosa for you, Sof Kol Sof? What's your panosa if not our learning and our davening and our mitzvahs and asim toivim? Wouldn't it be a better panosa for you if you would be mashpia in our lives, a shefa of tahara, of a life that's more pure? What would be bad, Rabbi Shalom, if you would give us Hashkor, Shefer Rav, of Yishev Hadas, of Tahara. And Rav Henoch from Alexander is whispering into each and every one of our ears. Davish to Hadir Gegevin Apek. Now, there's a lot of the chevy here, I know. And many of the pechalik that you're carrying, you've spoken to me about. There are Jews here who are carrying pechalik of unhappy marriages. There are Jews here who are carrying pechalik of children who don't want to daven or learn, who don't want to keep Shabbos. There are Jews here who are carrying pechalik of terrible difficulties in Parnas. Concerns about the health of people that they love. Pekluch of people who have died and they can't get over them. I was talking to a young lady yesterday. She came to see me in the yeshiva. I was talking to a tzedekis of a young lady. I couldn't bear listening to the story. She was so humiliated by somebody. She was left like a piece of trash. She thought she was going to be a kala. They already had made a date. Divorces, broken families, lonely children. I think that each and every one of us can hear a Hanukkah saying, "Deibeshte hadir gegeben apek." I would like to think that there are some Jews who are pater from the Peklach. I haven't met anybody like that, and because over the years I've heard so much, even Jews who appear ki'ilu, they don't have pechlach. To me, it only means that we haven't spoken yet. So the Eibishter had mir gegeben and dir gegeben a pechlach, and try to hear Reb Henochel whispering, but. Like Emorah Amarta, like the Zohar says, Belechish, whispering in a thundering voice into our ears. Chogdas. You could do it. Carry it. Carry the pack. Chogdas. But the truth is, Chavra, that there are times that I have felt, I don't share this with anybody but my wife and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are times that I know that I feel that I can't carry it. And probably there are many times that you also feel that you can't carry the pack. And even though you hear Rabbi Hanukkah saying, Chagadus, carry it. Every Jew has a pack. This is your pack, Chagadus. Sometimes you just cry and you say, Rabbi, in all due respect, Ich kenish. I can't carry it any longer. My wife read to me a letter that was written by a woman, not to her, but to a publication. I don't have it here. Maybe I'll read it to share it with a different time. It's more for Tisha B'Av than Lag B'Omer. A letter that was written by a woman who, in the Lashon Nekiyah, describing how her life has been completely ruined because her husband has lost in the imagination of filth and has buried himself in terrible, terrible tumma. She doesn't spell it out, but that's what she's saying. And she says that she doesn't know how to love him again. She doesn't know how to love him because of what he's done, what he does. And despite that feeling that she has, that her whole life has been ruined, she writes in this letter to this woman who wrote an article, the lady who wrote the letter writes to this lady, to the other lady, she says, but you know what? Today, I tried to cook him a supper that he loves. And I'm sure that Hashem Yisbarach was smiling. He was killing me to do that. I brought myself somehow to do that, to cook him something that he likes, his favorite food, even though I feel like I'm dead. So sometimes a person feels. But I can't. I hear the Rebbe, I hear the Rav, I hear the Sefer, I hear the Tzaddikim, I hear the Baal Shem Tov, I hear Rebbe Nachman, I hear the Tzaddikim, I hear the Nigunim telling me, Afilu Bastara. I hear all of that. And I hear that they're all telling me, Chagdas, you could do it, carry it. But it's so hard. So how are we supposed to carry these things? Each person with his own pack. The answer is Bar Yochai Ashrei Yoladetech. Rabbi Shimon, fortunate is the woman who gave birth to you. Ashrei Ha'am Himlechdech. Fortunate are the people, the nation who at the end of time have finally started to listen to what you teach. Va'ashrei Ha'am Va'ashrei Ha'imdim Al Seidech Kol Raz Seidach. Ashrei ha'oimdim, how fortunate are those who ha'oimdim al Seidach. Fortunate are those who are struggling to understand and are ha'oimdim, who are lifted up, who are brought back from the grave. Because of the sight, because of the secret that you share with us. L'vushei chayshen tumecha v'recha. So listen, Rabbi Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon said about himself. He described himself that he's a ha'ilech rachil u'magal asoid. And normally that's not something to be proud of, but he meant it in a different way. Somebody who's a talebearer, a magala side, somebody who is a yenta that gives away secrets. Rabbi Shimon said about himself that he's a hoilech rochel, a magala side. His whole essence is to tell a story, and to be magala and to reveal the secret. Hoilech rochel, to sell. A rochel is somebody who is a merchant. A yente lahavdil is trying to sell narishkeit and lashon hara. Rabbi Shimon was hoilech rochel and magala side. So what's the side? What's the secret? The secret is this. The secret is that every single Jew has a neshama. The secret is that every single Jew has a moon. Now, Lechaira, I know what you're thinking is that that's not a secret. And if anybody would ask you, if anybody would ask me, do you have a neshama? Every single one of us would say, of course I have a neshama. And if anybody would ask you, or would ask me, would wake you up in the middle of the night, do you have a muna? Of course I have a muna. Of course I have a muna. But if somebody asks you, or if somebody asks me, maybe you tell me the truth, do you really, really feel that you have a neshama? If you tell me the truth, do you really, really feel be'emes? I'm not going to tell anybody. Be'emes, do you really feel that emunah? Because if you really feel that you have a neshama, and if you really feel that you have emunah, you really feel the emunah, then how do you explain your life? How do you explain the shallowness, the emptiness? How do you explain the sadness, the anxiety, the depression, the impatience, the intolerance, the hate? How do you explain it? So not everybody could say, Be'emes, be'emes. Ani margish sheyesh li neshama. I feel I have neshama. I feel emuna. I feel emuna coursing through my veins, pumping in my heart. Bayochai. Rabbi Shimon the Baal HaHilula, who today, and as I said already, I was speaking to people in Meiram, and now, and everywhere in the world, more than ever, ever, ever before, a million times more than ever before, Jews are chalishing to touch the edge of your robe, to taste a tiny little drop of that soap, of the secret that you came to share with us. Because Rabbi Shimon, when Rabbi Shimon was Megala, when he was given permission from Shemayim that the time had come to be Hoiluch a Megala Soid, when Rabbi Shimon was given permission to begin to reveal the secret, he wasn't only revealing the secrets of Torah. He wasn't only revealing the spheres and the Olam HaSeil Yoinim, he was revealing the secret of a Jew. Rabbi Shimon was opening his heart, he was opening his miraculous mind and heart to each and every one of us, especially this generation of Ikfisid the Mashiach of the end, was buried in filth. He was opening up his entire being so that even a woodchopper, even somebody who spends his days with his finger going up and down, looking at things that some of which are okay to see, many of things that he shouldn't be seeing, that even such a Jew, who at the end of the day falls into bed exhausted not only from work, but exhausted from the disappointments with himself, and the kasha of the Chaytiv Eitzim in Kosk, and Rabbi Shimon opened the side. He opened up the Zayar Kaddish, the secret, that even such a Jew like that Yid in Kosk, and even Jews like us, we'd be able to, the emes, feel that we have in the Shama. And that we have, and that we have the emes, we have emunah, we're ma'amin. I saw that one time, the great tzaddik, the biggest Talmud of the Baal HaTanya, Rav Arlis Dreshel Yeshus Yigalein, that Rav Arlis Dreshelya went into the Baal HaTanya, and the Tanya asked him the following question. The Tanya asked him, "What is God?" Again, I don't have to translate that. "What is God?" What is God? And "What is Emuna?" Und was ist der Neshama? And Rav Arla was afraid to say anything. He didn't know what the Tanya was wanted from him. Was ist God? Und was ist the Neshama? And was ist Emuna? And was ist der Neshama? So Rav Arla just sat there and listened to what the Baal Tanya said. Because if not for this Rabbi Sai, we wouldn't be able to handle the Peklach. The Baal Tanya said, "God is cloth for arm. God is cloth for arm. Chutz God is garnish cloth for arm. God clearly exists. God is the only thing, the only one who clearly exists." Chutz God is garnish klafram. And besides God, nothing. Nothing really, really exists. Emuna. Emuna is the tzukach in God. Emunah di tzukach in God means that there's a pat inside a Jew. There's a pat, there's a fire. And in that fire, Elokus is cooking, is bubbling, there's excitement that's cooking, and that pat is called Emunah. Emunah is the tzukach in God. Emunah is that brings a Jew to be on fire with an excitement of that Elokus that's inside of him. To feel God revealed in his soul. Emunah is the tzukach in God. Neshama. Neshama is das was hot the tzukach in God. Neshama is that thing that Hashem created inside each and every one of us, which contains the tzukach, of Emunah. The Neshama is that which contains within it the Tzukach, the pot that is bubbling with Emunah. So when we want to understand a little bit of the shaykhs that people like you and I have to Lag BaOmer, very, very far from Iran, very far from Sisrei Torah, from understanding the secrets of Kabbalah, in a generation that's living ma'ara beside ma'ara, a cave within a cave. A generation that tries hard to build some kedusha. We try to learn, we try to daven, we try to work on ourselves, and then in a minute we're machriv, we crush, we destroy, we pollute everything that we've built, we machriv everything. So Davke now at the end of time, Davke in this generation, which is the ikvus of the ikvus, there's a tzarka, there's a scream that comes from deep within our hearts, and we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu much more desperately than the woodchopper in Kotsk. Rabbi Shlomo, we're asking you, how do you want us to live these days? How do you want us to raise holy and pure children these days? Rabbi Shalom, you know yourself what happens on the bus that goes to school. Rabbi Shalom, you know yourself that there's always a kid, there's always that kid that for whatever reason he got his hands on something, he's showing it to my child, and my child is keeping secrets. And those secrets are hurting him, are hurting her. How do you want us to live? How do you want us to raise your children? How do you expect us to schlep these peklach? And Lag BaOmer, there's a nechama. And the nechama of Lag BaOmer is that we're also those who believe in Rebbe Shimon, those who believe in Sod. Ha'am ha'imdim al seidecha, those who believe in sight, are able to also hear a baskal, the sight, the secret, the lechisha of Rabbi Shimon himself. And somehow, even after such a crazy day when we fall down, filthy from the day, Rabbi Shimon, the holy fire, the Bitsina Kadisha, lights a fire inside of us, and we start to cook, and we try again. And we hear Rabbi Shimon through the voice of the Alter Rebbe of the Baal HaTanya, through the Tzaddikim telling us, God is klar faham. God clearly exists. He's the only real thing that exists. Chutz God is garnish klar faham. Besides God, there's nothing, nothing, nothing besides God that really, really, really exists. That sight, that secret, that Rabbi Shimon was given permission to reveal. The secret of Rabbi Shimon, Ba Yochai B'Kodesh HaKadosh, that Rabbi Shimon was able to open up the Kodesh Kadoshim inside of us. That Nekuda of Amunah, the Nekuda of Rashbi, the Nekuda of that same Tzadik Rabbi Shimon who after the 13 years in the cave, he said, the time has come, the time has come for me to begin to repair the world. And the Gemara says that he went to Tveria, and he began to remove the Suffolk Tumas Meis that was there so the Kahanim would be able to cross by that place, by the bridge. And miraculously he began to show where there was no Tumas Meis, where Kahanim could walk. Rabbi Shimon, you began to reveal the sight that enables people like us at the end of time, at the end of a day, when we feel like we can't carry these peklach anymore, the peklach of tzaros, the peklach of filth, the peklach of tavshin ayin hay of 2015, that because of you, Rabbi Shimon, we're able to somehow overcome the tumas mace, that tumor that makes us feel like we want to die. Shimon Bar Yochai, I told you every year that Shimon Bar Yochai is brought down as the gematria mechaye mace. I saw Reb Chaimaya Viznitzer. Reb Chaimaya Viznitzer said that it says we daven the care of Tonu Malkeinu La'avosacha, Rebbein Shalom, bring us near to your avoda. He said that the care of Tonu was the gematria Shimon ben Yochai. The care of Tonu is the gematria Shimon ben Yochai. So it's true. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's true that the time that we're living in is a big fire. The fire that took the lives of that family in Flatbush is nothing compared to the fire that's destroying that woman's marriage. The fire that's destroying the little innocent boy on the school bus. The fire of divorce, the fire of unhappiness. Now you know that the Gemara says that Torah is compared to fire, brings the pasuk kaid v'arika esh in Um Hashem. And the minhag of the Jewish people is to light fires on Lag Ba'omer. In Chutz Laaretz it's not yet such a big avod like it is in Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael everybody's preparing mamish from Pesach, everybody's already preparing since Bir Chametz, they're preparing the maduras for Lag Ba'omer. And there's a fire that's burning right now in Miron, and the whole north of Eretz Yisrael is shining with the fires. All of Tzvatz, all of Tveria, is shining with the light of the Butzina Kadisha of Rabbi Shimon. And the Zohar Kaddish, when it describes that unbelievable day that Rabbi Shimon died, Kalahu Yamalai Afsik Ashim and Beisa, the entire day the fire didn't stop burning in the house of Rabbi Shimon. The whole house was surrounded by fire. And nobody could enter. They couldn't walk into the fire. And Rabbi Shimon on that day revealed the sight that even though the time will come when the fires are burning us, Rabbi Shimon said that my fire will burn. Like Rabbi Nachman said that my flame will burn till Mashiach comes. The fire of Rabbi Nachman, of all the tzaddikim, is the fire that Rabbi Shimon lit of sight, of vos is God, and vos is Emuna, and vos is the neshama. And that fire of Rabbi Shimon is able to burn away. It doesn't burn away the pekulach. We have the pekulach. But that somehow the younger man in Kosk did get up for Kriyishma. He did get up and go to Marv. He gave a krech, and he says, Pakin, but Mirge Gevin a pekula. Rebbein Shalom, you gave me a pekula. But I'm going to go weiter, achtrogdus, I'm going to carry it. And even though we have pekula and fires of tzaras and difficulties and tumah, because of Rabbi Shimon, each one of us is able to still find within ourselves that fire, that light, that warmth, that sight, the neshama, the emunah, Rabbi Shimon, hoyt shabahoyt, simcha, moments of simcha, and yishuv adas, and we're able to say, Baruch Shalom, emes, but me apekel gigab, and you gave me a pekel. I know my pekel. But I promise you, Baruch Shalom, I'm also going to go to Marav tonight. I promise, Baruch Shalom, I'm also going to, no matter what happened a few minutes ago, I'm going to get up and I'm going to start davening again. I'm going to say Kriya Shema tonight. I'm going to learn. I'm going to give you nachas. I swear to you, I'm going to be better. I'm going to try to be better. Chok, I'm schlepping, I'm carrying. Let me end by sharing with you a story. I believe I told it this year in Shul. I don't remember when I told it. But these days I'm grateful that I just remember the story. It would be better to read it to you, but I know that you're tired. I already have gone way over what I'm supposed to. Kedarki Bakailish. He was a Jewish thinker. He survived. He was near to Israel of Shlomo Zalman Shragai. He was a great writer. He wrote a few svarim about Ishbitz Radzin. He came from that Geza, the Tzaddikim of Ishbitz Radzin, Chassidim of Ishbitz Radzin. I don't know what his original name was. He changed his name to make it Hebrew. Talmud Chacham, a Baal Machshav. See, he had such a koach of writing. That's why it would be so much nicer if I could read it to you, but I'll tell all of you my mishpahs. This Reb Shlomo Zalman, he went back to Europe after the Milchama. He was helping with different things over there, with the relief. And it was time for him to return to Eretz Yisrael. And he was at the train outside of Warsaw. Whatever was left of Warsaw, you know, Warsaw was one or two buildings from the whole Warsaw. And he was waiting by the train, and a Jewish woman came over to him and said, "You're a Yid, maybe you could do me a toiva. My father is an old man," and the old Jew was standing next to her. "He's an old man. And he decided he will not stay here anymore. And my father, however, he was able to work this out. We were able to gather together the means. And he wants to go to spend the remainder of his life. And as so, we have a sister that went there before the war. I have a sister. Tel Aviv, I have a sister." So she asked Reb Shlomo Zalman, she asked him, "You would do me a very big favor if you could look after him and stay with him in the car, you know, in the little booth, whatever, stay with him, that he should be with another Yid." They were going from there to Prague, and then from Prague, Baita. Could you stay with my father? Shlomo Zalman said, "Kav God. I can't say over the way he describes this Yid. Remember I said at the very beginning, the story of Galus, this was a Yid that mamished the whole Galus. The whole Galus. He had a white beard and was bent over almost halfway to the ground. And Reb Shlomo Zalman was helping him. They went into the carriage of the train. And Reb Shlomo Zalman tried to begin the conversation. And no matter what he tried, no matter what he asked, the Yid wouldn't answer. He just sat there. Every now and then he gave a crest. And Reb Shlomo Zalman said he was so uncomfortable. And hours are going by. And then all of a sudden the old man said to him, "Could you help me to get my suitcase down?" Shlomo Zalman jumps up, he pulls down the suitcase, and the old man opens the suitcase and he has in there a candlestick for Shabbos. He has towels and tefillin. And he has a Noam Elimelech. And he takes out the Noam Elimelech. And he's learning the Noam Elimelech. So Shlomo Zalman wanted to start talking to him maybe about the parasha, Noam Elimelech. And the old Yid just looks at him for a second and just looks back down to say if it doesn't answer. So now Shlomo Zalman saw that he's not the it's not going to happen to this guy, this Yid. And it was already very late at night. And if Shlomo Zalman was taking down a blanket for himself to be on the bench to rest a little bit, and he had a little mashke, he had a little schnapps, And he said to the Yid, he's drinking. Could I offer you some schnapps? It was the first thing the Yid said the whole night, besides asking for the beer, was, yeah, a bit of schnapps. A little mashke. So Shlomo Zalman gave him some mashke. And then the Jew began to talk. The Jew began to talk. He was a Belzer Chassid. Came from someplace in Galicia. He began to go into the details of what happened to his wife, what happened to his children. He saw his wife getting killed. His children were taken, killed together with his wife. He spoke about how he was beaten and what he went through and how he was tortured. And then, as suddenly as he began speaking, he stopped speaking. And Shlomo Zalman said he didn't know what to say. He was just, he krechst, and he didn't know what to say. And he lied down. But the old Jew didn't lie down. He sat there with an arm in the mouth. And now a few hours went by, and Shlomo Zalman wakes up. Sees it's getting not so far away from Prague. It's going to be already soon the morning, and he realizes he has to wash and he has to daven before he comes to the station. He has to daven, and Shlomo Zalman takes out his towels and film, and he davens, and the old Jew is just sitting there. Shlomo Zalman's finished davening, and they're getting closer to the station. And then the Yid says, I hold that I'll be din. I don't have to daven. And I don't want to daven. And I'm not going to daven. And Shlomo Zalman said he didn't say anything. He just sat there and he said there was such a sadness, there was such a cloud, such a heaviness. And he just said a few times, "B'chalt al pidin, I don't need the daven, I don't have the daven." And then they were quiet for another few minutes. And Shlomo Zalman said around a half hour, 45 minutes went by. And the Yid bends down and he takes out his talis and film. And he puts his talis like Jews do over the right shoulder. And he said, this is what he said. I don't know what number I'm going to forget over the years. I hope I don't ever forget this. But I can't say the words. The Yid said this. He said, Amos, he took everything away from me. And Amos, al pi din, I don't have to daven. What could I do? There's nobody left in the world, only me and a few other Jews. He is only me and a few other people that survived. I don't know what to do. I can't leave him like this. He took everybody, but he left me alive. And Shlomo Zalman said that he began to sob. This Belzer Chassid was sobbing, holding on to his towels and throne. Was is God? Was is Amun? Was is the Neshama? Was is a Yid? What's the secret of the Jew? I have Yishimel. There are no words that we have for you to thank you forgiving us back, God forgiving us back, Amuna forgiving us back, the Neshama. Forgiving us at the end of a hard time, at the end of a hard day, nothing like that bells of chassid from Poland. To give us back that feeling that we also have rachmanis on Hashem's book. Because we're all that He has in the world, Rabbi Sa, we're all that He has in this world now. We're all. We should be zayichim as Hashem to see the sinik of the light of every Shem on our eyes. To be zayichim to light that fire that will light the fires in the old Jewish heart that will burn away all the tumim. The Arisha Kosh and Tichra. I'm Shelazon, Tavim and Haris, and we deserve to see the light of Dr. Malcolm and Sheikh and the Lashem Amitis and Henry Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah.